The Common Core standards in the news again. State Superintendent of Schools Tony Evers vigorously defended them in a speech at a statewide education conference last Wednesday. Governor Walker, speaking to the same conference on Friday, says he wants to change the standards to make them more Wisconsin-based and more rigorous. What is it about the Common Core that has ruffled so many feathers? We'll talk about that during our State Capitol Report this morning. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. My guest in this half hour is Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Teacher Education at St. Norbert College. Professor, good morning and welcome back to the Joy Cardine program.
Oh, good cold morning to you too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I got some hot coffee here and my car started and I've lived in northern Wisconsin almost all of my life. So, it is what it is.
Well,
but,
yeah, too many more days like this and you'd move to central Wisconsin, wouldn't
you? Yeah, well, listen, the forecast says that closer to Lake Superior where I live, it's going to be warmer tonight. So I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, yeah, it's that Mediterranean banana belt effect, sure.
Yeah, right. Okay. So let's start out by reviewing a topic that certainly seems to have warmed some people up. The Common Core standards, what are they? What subjects are covered? Who developed them?
Yeah, it helps to kind of look at this. Common Core began as a relatively voluntary association. State school officers and the National Governors Association in the mid-2000s put together a process to be able to standardize standards. And the idea was to bring some consistency across as many states as they could. And the idea then would be that with an economy of scale, see if everybody remembers their economic terms, by spreading the cost all across as many states as possible, you'd actually be able to bring down a lot of the expenses of assessment, and then you'd also have a real consistent measure. So we could really tell how that child in Tupelo, Mississippi is doing compared relatively to that child in Bangor, Maine. And there's always been this criticism that individual state standards allow way too much variety and way too much inconsistency. And therefore, then Common Core, which, again, it's especially good if you have some alliteration in your title, so that's why Common Core caught on, would allow then for this just consistent measures and standards to be all the way across the states. So...
Well, that makes a certain kind of sense, particularly given how mobile our population is and has been. I mean, you could miss key pieces of education just by moving from one state to another. Say one state teaches a certain thing in first grade, another state teaches it in second or third. You could miss some really important stuff just by moving the timing of your move.
Absolutely. And those are some of the criteria or arguments that supporters of the Common Core have articulated over the years, and not just Common Core. These have been other attempts at the national or standardization of curricula in the United States for over 100 years. So these arguments you hear, somebody out there listening may remember the name of Hyman Rickover. He was the father of the nuclear navy. He did advocated for national science and math standards back in the 1950s. Got him on the cover of Time magazine, by the way. So that this idea that we need to be consistent across all 50 states has been a consistent plea or cry or argument. But on the other side, we have that pesky 9th and 10th Amendment of the United States, the Bill of Rights. And so education has always been a state issue in the United States. So England and France, for example, have national curriculum, exact same things are taught in the exact same grades on the exact same day, on the exact same pages. That's not a United States thing as much. But the idea then is that these became adopted, and Wisconsin was an early adopter, because while those arguments and the one you just shared are logical and it resonates with people, on the other track, if we can say parallel track, you've got the federal government increasingly expecting measures and outcomes with things like adequate yearly progress, graduation rates. Now with Race to the Top, we have college to or a school to college and career readiness. And the problem is the states are like, how do we measure this? What do we do? And Common Core sort of appeared to some states, almost like Venus on the half shell, just appeared, here's our answer. And so Wisconsin was an early adopter with the hope that, and Superintendent Evers was, you know, part of the people advocating this, that said, this is the answer. These are consistent floors. They're not ceilings. They're floors. They're low-level basic standards. And this will allow us to be able to make the feds happy, be able to tie this into teacher quality measures, be able to tie this in with all these other expectations, and we can compare ourselves with other states. So they just saw where the route was going, and they tried to, the Common Core provided the solution for that.
So let's be clear, though, as you point out, the Common Core was not developed by the United States Department of Education. This wasn't any part of any federal mandate. This actually came from the states and the governors in kind of a cooperative way. Let's get together and figure this out. And so it's been characterized as a federal takeover of state education, but it isn't, is it?
Not exactly. But again, like most things that become political, you know, it's not 100% pure. It maybe was developed by state school officers and superintendent, but it has been, for all intents and purposes, adopted by the federal government because it does so neatly and clearly satisfy the expectations that they want addressed. So it's not exactly a federal curriculum, but, you know, if it walks like a duck. So, you know, and again, that's where you have the opponents of Common Core advocating against it, because they do argue, and frankly, they argue very persuasively, that this is a national curriculum, that this is a federal takeover, that it's consistent, textbooks are going to be developed, they're all going to be the same. And there's this fear of this federal intrusion into the day-to-day lives, and now we start talking with some of the Tea Party rhetoric, and so you get these weird sort of political groups that are opposed to it, not always for the same reason, but all the groups are probably overblown with their fears, definitely overblown with their promises. But at the end of the day, we still have to meet these federal expectations. And Common Core seems to be the best available option that exists today.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Professor, I want us to talk about the remarks that both State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Evers made and Governor Walker made to school district leaders who were having their annual convention last week, and see how you would characterize Dr. Evers' position on this. And the governors, and then we'll talk about what may happen or may not happen in the legislature and so forth. But we'll do all that in just a moment. We're talking about the Common Core standards in this half hour of our political discussion in the State Capitol Report. You can join us at 800-642-1234, talk at WPR.org, or find us on Facebook. Look for the Joy Cardine program and leave your comment or question there. 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. John Munson, in for Joy Cardine. My guest is Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Teacher Education at St. Norbert College. We're talking about the Common Core standards, and last week, State School Superintendent Evers made a pretty strong statement in defense of the standards. He said he wanted school district leaders to keep bringing, quote, truth to the debate, end quote, about the standards. Are the standards being misportrayed, and was Dr. Evers drawing a line in the sand, do you think?
Oh, I think that the timing of that, there was no accident on that part. I think that DPI and education in general feels pretty beat up if you look at the priorities that the Walker administration has set the last few years. And I think that this was a line in the sand. We can talk a little bit about what that line may be, because there's a very specific line. This isn't a general line, but he was saying, he was laying out the process by which he advocated for the adoption of Common Core and what Common Core will do for the state of Wisconsin. Again, those things like consistent measures, be able to, Wisconsin was an early adopter, so we had some influence in the beginning. the idea that then we are out in front and we have to do these things, and so that's why we did these things. He was also trying to get out in front of the idea, which, by the way, it's like getting out in front of a meteor. You can forget it. But the opponents of Common Core have already made their minds up. And, in fact, if anybody out there wants to Google Common Core, you will find more news stories that appear about opponent groups nationally than you will groups advocating for it. New York, for example, huge. They're big opposition. But people sort of thought that it was adopted surreptitiously, that in reality it wasn't. It just wasn't on anybody's radar screen back in 2009 and 2010. It's like, oh, any teacher out there will say, gee, another set of standards coming down the road. Wow. It was just another thing. This has taken on a level of importance because, again, of the parallel track of the federal government having these expectations. But Superintendent Evers laid out the argument that it's been adopted, we've devoted significant resources, it's becoming part of the culture of K-12 education, both student and teacher, and we are moving in a good direction. Well,
please finish.
Okay. Our governor then presents on Friday. And of course, our governor is elected, just like the superintendent. So this becomes political at this point. It no longer becomes logical. It no longer becomes based on kind of things that reasonable people would think about. And our governor, who he said, Wisconsin needs to have a commission that reviews our academic standards. And he was advocating for the creation of this commission that would be chaired by the state superintendent, and the superintendent would put people on the commission, and the governor would put people on the commission, and I think the legislature too, and make a report to the legislature, and then the legislature could make recommendations or advocate changes in the curriculum. And that's where anybody that's thinking about law school or interested in constitutional law will say, huh, can the governor tell another constitutional body how to do their job? Or is that's one of those examples of, wow, might that be unconstitutional? That's the line in the sand, I think, that's here. People might recall former Governor Thompson. He appointed a Secretary of Education back in the mid to late 90s. And I believe it was Superintendent Benson at the time. I might be wrong on that, in DPI. And DPI sued, saying, no, the Constitution of Wisconsin has a very limited number of offices, but superintendent is one. And Attorney General Doyle, interestingly enough, didn't support the governor, advocated on the side of DPI, and they won a constitutional case. So we do have some precedents in Wisconsin with the executive branch trying to control and direct a constitutional office and losing at that. That may very well be the line in the sand that these Superintendent Evers may decide that's where it is. You're not going to cross it.
Let's take a quick phone call from Lynn in Pulaski. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning. A lot of what the professor's talking about, I absolutely agree with. Two points that I wanted to make. The first, we have to be very careful about interchanging the word standards and curriculum. The Common Core state standards are definitely standards. These are skills and knowledge that we need to make sure on a year-by-year basis that students are achieving. Curriculum denotes that the state is trying to tell schools exactly what to teach and how to teach it, and the Common Core state standards definitely do not do that. We still have a lot of local control down to the classroom level of exactly how we're going to make sure that these standards are addressed. The second thing, which I don't think you've discussed yet, is something that came out from the state legislature that we were very puzzled about, classroom teachers. They passed a bill to make sure that the Common Core state standards were not going to use fingerprinting and retinal scanning of our students, and those are things that never were discussed as part of the Common Core state standards.
Lynn, thank you for pointing out that distinction. Professor?
Yeah, Lynn is very well versed in this. I'll take the second one first because this has been one of those hysteria items. They're under the rubric of biometrics, and wouldn't anybody be scared of that word? And the idea, though, is that originally some of the groups were advocating that we would take measure, or that there would be measurements taken of children's height, weight, fingerprinting, et cetera, et cetera. And we'd have this national database, and then, you know, to be able to measure things like obesity and health, et cetera, et cetera. That was dropped long ago, but it gets brought up again by opponents of Common Core as they're going to put it in, keep your eye on them because we can't trust them. So that's what she's talking about. The standards and curriculum, she's very well, very knowledgeable. That is true. Local districts are still going to have to decide how to present within the classroom the standards for the Common Core. Opponents say, but you know, with textbook development and consistent instructional materials and schools being very cognizant of the fact that test scores are going to be the public measure of school efficiency, that we're going to see a standardization of instruction, and therefore then it's really also affecting the curriculum. Common Core doesn't do that, but the fear is that schools will standardize instruction based on these, you know, prepackaged Pearson, for example, a publishing company, these prepackaged curricula, that it will make for a one-size-fits-all. And that's where you get some interesting arguments back and forth on both sides. But she's very well, she knows what she's talking about with the difference between standards and curriculum.
Let's quickly go to Matt in Oshkosh. Matt, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I've been on a school board since 2007. There was never a clear, transparent, open discussion about whether we should or shouldn't do this. As you know, regarding the Common Core standards, it was something that started to be quietly and offhandedly commented about. I really didn't know what it was, but it was never made a big enough deal that myself and other school board members questioned it. And when the school board members are not properly informed and involved in a conversation, where do you think the general public is? And the reason you're having the problem and the huge discussion and uproar that you're having now is because this conversation was not allowed to properly take place back in 2007, 2008, 2009. And it was done that way because people knew it would never be allowed to be put into place. And I firmly believe that.
Matt, thanks for the call. So he thinks if people had known about it, they would have opposed it. Could it be that educators thought this was this made so much sense that who would ask questions about it? It seems like there's a real disconnect here, and Matt's feeling like they didn't get a chance to properly discuss it. And he suggested the reason is because people knew who were pushing it knew that that people would oppose it.
Well, one, you can hear the frustration in Matt's voice. He is absolutely correct. I wouldn't say that it was open. It just wasn't public. They weren't hiding this process back then, but it wasn't on a lot of people's radar screens, and it was being discussed. And again, in the firehouse flow of standards and changes that seem to happen every decade, this was just sort of perceived as one more coming down the road. And it wasn't publicly presented by DPI, nor did they have any kind of statewide public discussion. And I could probably, people just thought, you know, it's not that big of a deal. We're trying to do this. Let us get somewhere. Let us get ahead of this. And then it was adopted. And then, boy, even after that, we have a 2-year lag time. And now people are saying, whoa, wait a minute. And, of course, then you have everybody saying, hey, I talked about that before. Well, hey, I wasn't listening. Well, hey, I talked about the advantages. So then you get a he said, she said, shoulda, coulda, woulda. But in retrospect, yeah, this should have been presented in much more public forum, because then the conversation would move forward as to the benefits and detriments as opposed to the how you did this. So it creates this feeling of ignorance or people hiding things. And I know that wasn't the intention, but that's been the outcome for a lot of groups.
So very quickly, as we come to the end of the program here, Professor, what's the future of Common Core in Wisconsin? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think Superintendent Evers has made that very clear. It's all hands on deck. We're moving straight ahead.
Okay.
And
we're going to have to leave it there. That's all the time we have. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Teacher Education at St. Norbert College. Our discussion continues on a different topic, mental health, after the news. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network.